Take your Bibles and go over to Jeremiah chapter 22 in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 22. Are we taping up there? Okay, good. Jeremiah 22. What we'll do, Norm, I'll have you guys come when you're ready. Tonight is kind of a, for those who may be listening on the web to this message, it'll be shorter than usual, just kind of a Christmas type of Bible study, but brief, because tonight is our big Christmas outreach dress rehearsal, walk through Bethlehem, and so it's going to be brief, all right? We're going to give the actors and actresses time to get situated, and then we're going to start taking groups through. And I'm just going to, while I'm teaching, we're going to have the offering tonight, so if you came prepared to give, we want to give you that opportunity to put your grace giving in there tonight, okay? All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much, God, for tonight. Thank you, Lord. I pray you'll bless our rehearsal tonight. May we reach many, many people, God, with the gospel this year through Walk Through Bethlehem. Bless the offering now. Bless our Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah 22. I know it's exciting, everything, but I'm going to give you a little devotion. I think that'll be a blessing to you if you really think about it and focus on what I'm saying tonight. I want to talk to you about a fella by the name of Jeconiah. You say, what in the world's that got to do? Well, it's going to all tie back to the virgin birth, okay? And that's why it's very applicable to the Christmas time. What I want to do is first of all, reiterate a promise that God made to David. God made King David a promise that from his loins there would be a seed that would sit upon David's throne over Israel, and his kingdom would be established forever. We call it the Davidic covenant. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And God said, David, from your loins will come a king that's going to reign forever. He's going to reign over the throne of Israel and over that promised kingdom. It's going to be established forever. Now, at one point in history, folks, it looked as if there was no hope of that promise ever being fulfilled. God declared that one of the kings in the royal line of David, you know, you had David, and then in the royal line next, you had can anybody tell me who was David's son that was in the royal line? Solomon. That's right. You had David, you had Solomon, and then down that royal line, one of the kings in the royal line of David, God said he would not have a man sitting on the throne of David from that man's loins. I want you to look at Jeremiah 22, and I'm going to show it to you. Jeremiah 22 and verse number 28. This fellow's name here, he calls him Coniah in verse 28. Is this man Coniah a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? This is a reference to the fact that the Babylonians would come in and would take Israel as slaves. And Coniah is the king. Look at verse 29. O earth, earth, earth. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. Now look at this. For no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. I want you to notice here that this man, Coniah, by the way, Coniah, King Coniah, is also known as King Jeconiah and Jehoiachin, same guy. Because of the wickedness of Jeconiah, this king, and because of the wickedness of his father, who was named Jehoiakim, God said that no member of their seed would ever sit on David's throne. God said, I will not have that wicked line there on that throne. So you understand, folks, that it looked like God's promise to David had failed. He said, David, from your loins is going to come a king that's going to reign forever on the throne. And of course, we know that to be Christ. But he told David, he said, David, there's going to come this king. He's going to reign forever. This is the Davidic covenant. But then it looked like God's promise failed because God said, because of the wickedness of Jeconiah, I will not have anyone from that seed line sitting on that throne. So you got the royal seed line there cursed. Here's the glorious part. Jesus Christ was isolated from the wicked seed line and the sin of Jeconiah by means of the virgin birth. Now, I want to explain this to you, and I got to use some genealogies. Go over to the book of Matthew and Luke. Get Matthew in one hand and Luke in the other. Matthew 1, okay? Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter number 2. Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 3, Luke 3. Matthew 1 and Luke 3. Now in Matthew 1, verses 1 through 16, we have here the genealogy of Joseph. Joseph was the husband of Mary and the stepfather of Jesus. Now why do we say that Joseph was Jesus' stepfather? The definition of a stepfather is this: the husband of one's mother when distinct from one's natural father. Was Joseph the natural father of Jesus? Yes or no? No. But was he Mary's, Jesus' mom, Mary, was he her husband? Yes or no? So that would make him Jesus' stepfather. Jesus was born of a virgin. His life did not come. Now get this. Jesus' life did not come from Joseph's seed, but rather that human life came from God's Holy Spirit. You got Luke. Go over to Luke 1 real quick, and I'll just show you this. Go over to Luke chapter 1. I don't know if it's not working or what, but I'm not hearing anything in the A's. Luke chapter 1, and look with me at verse number 34. It says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the what? Son of God." Now here's where it gets interesting. In Matthew chapter 1, you got the genealogy of Joseph, his stepfather. And Joseph's genealogy is traced back through, guess who? Jeconiah, that wicked king. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 11. "And Josias begat Jeconias," aha, "and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon." We've got Joseph. Now get this. This is interesting, folks. You need to understand. This will bless your heart if you get this. Joseph, which was Jesus' stepfather, was of the royal line of David. If you trace Joseph's genealogy back, it goes back through Jeconiah, that wicked guy, then back through Solomon and back all the way to David. Joseph was of the royal line. Now, in Luke, if you turn over to Luke chapter 3, here we have Mary's genealogy. Okay, the mother of Jesus. We got Mary's genealogy. Now, Mary was also a descendant of David. But now get this, she was not through the royal line of Solomon. Okay? If you look at this, Luke chapter 3, it can be a little confusing, verse 23, because it says, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed," okay, "the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli." But now watch this, that's not Joseph's dad over in Matthew 1. So as you trace this back, you begin to understand that he was the son-in-law of Heli. So what you have in Matthew 1 is Joseph's genealogy. What you have in Luke chapter 3 is Mary's genealogy. Now look at this. Go over here. Look at Luke chapter 3 and look at verse 30. Let's see. Go up to verse 31. Look at the end of that verse. Notice where Mary came from, which was the, look at the end of the verse, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of who? David. Was Mary a descendant of David? Yes or no? Yes, she was. She was a descendant of David, but now get this, she wasn't like Joseph. She was not of that royal line of Solomon. She came through David's other son, Nathan. Now, isn't this amazing that Jesus was of the loins of David through Mary, his mother, okay, through Nathan, not Solomon, but without the taint of sin that would have come had he come from the loins of Joseph and not been virgin born. When we think of the virgin birth, at least I've always thought of it as isolating Christ from the sin of Adam, from Adam's sin. But it did more than that. The virgin birth isolated Christ from the sin of King Jeconiah and the curse that God had pronounced on that royal line, which seemed at the time to block the promise made to David. What God did, He turned the tables on the adversary. And through the marvelous, miraculous virgin conception of Christ, what you've got is you've got Christ coming to earth and as of the loins of David through Mary's side, which qualified him to fulfill the Davidic covenant, had to be of David's loins. Well, he was of David's loins through Mary. Okay? But he comes as having the legal right and the claim to the throne of David through his stepfather's side, Joseph, but avoids the curse on that line by means of his virgin birth. He was not of the loins of Joseph. He was not of Joseph's seed. So with Mary as his mother and God as his father, the transmission of that tainted sin line from David through Jeconiah is omitted. And you have the mysterious truth of Genesis 3:15 fulfilled. Go all the way back to Genesis and let me show you this. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter 3, and look at verse number 15. Way back here, when Adam and Eve sin here in Genesis 3, notice the promise God makes here in Genesis 3:15. Verse 14, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field." Okay, look at verse 15. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and" what? "Her seed." Notice it, "her seed shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." You say, what's so miraculous and mysterious about that? Well, it's mysterious because the woman didn't carry the seed. The man did. Do you see how crucial the virgin birth was? In order for Genesis 3:15 to be fulfilled and the woman's seed to be able to destroy Satan, he had to be virgin born. And one day Jesus Christ is going to return to the earth as David's flesh through Mary, and he's going to sit on that Davidic throne forever, and he has that right, okay, because Joseph with his stepfather is of that royal line. And he will come as the one who will execute the Davidic covenant. He will bring Israel's kingdom. He will rule and reign on David's throne for God's glory. Look over at Luke again, chapter 1. I hope you kept your place there. Luke chapter 1. So because of the virgin birth, Jesus Christ escaped that curse that was on that royal seed line. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 31. It says, verse 30, let's go up to verse 30. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest." Now look at this. "And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father," who? "David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be" what, church? "No end." No end. Jesus Christ, the virgin born Son of God. Jesus Christ, virgin born, comes to the earth of the loins of David through Mary, but having the legal right and claim to the throne of David through his stepfather's side, Joseph, but avoids that curse on that line that God cursed because of Jeconiah through his virgin birth. He was not of the loins of Joseph. Praise the Lord for the virgin birth. Amen. And so, I know that maybe is a little bit heavier Bible study than you were looking for tonight for a dress rehearsal. But I tell you what, when I studied that, that really blessed my heart. And just remember that the virgin birth not only isolated him from the sin of Adam, but from that cursed seed line of Jeconiah. What a blessing. Amen. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer. And